Judah have dealt unfaithfully, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the sanctuary of Jehovah, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. Jehovah will cut off from the tents of Jacob the man that thus is, him that calls and him that answers, and him that offers an oblation unto Jehovah of hosts. And further you do this, you cover the altar of Jehovah with tears, with weeping and with sighing, and so much that he regards not the oblation any more, nor receives it with satisfaction at your hand. Yet you say, wherefore? Because Jehovah has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt unfaithfully. Yet she is thy companion, and the wife of thy covenant. And did not one make them, and the remnant of the Spirit was his? And wherefore the one, who sought the seed of God? Take heed then to your spirit, and let none deal unfaithfully against the wife of his youth. For I hate putting away, said Jehovah, the God of Israel. And he covereth with violence his garment, says Jehovah of hosts. Take heed then to your spirit, that you deal not unfaithfully. You have wearied Jehovah with your words, and you say, wherein have we wearied him? And that you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of Jehovah, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment?
Some of the main thoughts in chapters 1 and 2. In chapter 1, we have seen, shows the moral state of the people. The people have lost their spiritual sensitivity and they become lukewarm. We also read about conversation between God and his people. God asks and the people respond. And the summary is that people showed a state of indifference. People are asking God to show them the proof that he loved them.
لقد أظهر لهم الرب خطاياهم وشرهم.
The Lord has revealed to them their sin and wickedness.
يقولون بماذا أخطأنا.
They say, wherein have we sinned?
أجاب الرب.
The Lord answered.
إنهم قدموا تقديمات معين.
And they offered defiled offerings.
لم يستحوا بالقول أن مائدة الرب تنجست.
They were not ashamed, saying that the table of the Lord is contemptible. And its fruit is contemptible. So the Lord's table is defiled and its fruit is contemptible. Then we find some rebuke from the Lord.
لا أب ولا سيد يسمح لنفسه بأن يعامل معاملة الاحتقار هذه.
Neither a father or a master would allow people to deal with him in such a despising way. The people did not appreciate the honor of the Lord. And they despised his word. And despite that, the Lord would be glorified beyond the borders of the people. And his name would be great among the nations. And this is what would happen in the future when the writings of the prophet, my house will be a house of prayers for all nations, will be fulfilled. Those were the most important thoughts in chapter 1. But in chapter 2, the priest had to give an example to the people.
يهوذا التصق بعبادة الأصنام.
While Judah was clinging to the to adultery.
لقد تزوج بنت إله غريب.
They married the daughters of a foreign god.
لقد غدروا بامرأة الشباب.
They dealt treacherously with the wife of the youth.
والله يكره الطلاق.
And God hates divorce.
العهد مع لاوي أعطي مرتين.
The covenant with the Levite was given with Levi was given twice.
مرة في حادثة العجل الذهبي.
One at the time of the golden calf.
في خروج 32.
In Exodus 32.
ومرة في حادثة بلعام.
And another time with Balaam.
في سفر العدد الأصحاح 25.
The book of Numbers 25.
العهد مع لاوي أعطي لأنه وقف بجانب الرب.
The covenant was with Levi because he stood by the Lord.
لقد أعطي له مرتين.
It was given to him twice.
وفي في عدد ستة من هذا الأصحاح.
In verse 6 of this chapter.
يمتد كلام النبي من لاوي.
The prophet speaks about.
إلى الشخص العظيم وهو رئيس الكهنة العظيم.
Moves from speaking to Levi to the greatest chief priest,
وهو الرب يسوع المسيح,
who is the Lord Jesus Christ.
حيث أن هذا الكلام لا ينطبق إلا على المسيح.
And this really wouldn't apply except on Christ.
كان يجب على الكهنة.
It was the priest's duty
أن يسلكوا بالاستقامة.
That they walk in equity.
ويعلموا الشعب.
And they teach the people.
لكن ماذا نقرأ عنهم في عدد 8؟
But what do we read about them in verse 8?
أنهم حادوا عن الطريق.
They departed from the way.
أعثرتم كثيرين بالشريعة.
They caused many to stumble at the law.
وأفسدتم عهد لاوي.
And corrupted the covenant of Levi.
لقد انحدر الكهنة إلى مستوى أدبي.
The priests have come to a very low moral state.
ذكرنا أن الحالة في حالة الناس أنهم غدروا بامرأة الشباب.
We mentioned that the people were dealing treacherously with the wife of the youth.
لقد استهانوا بترتيب الله.
They have despised the order of God.
من ناحية الزواج.
Concerning marriage.
وساءت الأمور.
And things got worse.
حتى أنهم وصلوا إلى الطلاق.
Till they come to divorce.
والله يكره الطلاق.
And God hates divorce.
ونتيجة لذلك.
And the result of that.
رفض الله تقدماتهم.
God has rejected their offering.
حالتهم الأدبية أصبحت رديئة جدا.
Their moral state was very bad.
لقد أتعبوا الرب بكلامهم.
They have wearied the Lord with their words.
وقالوا إن من يفعل الشر هو صالح في عيني الرب.
And said, well, whoever does this will be good in the sight of the Lord.
ولو كان الرب متعجل في القضاء.
And if the Lord would be hastening in his judgment.
لكان قضى على الكهنة أولا.
He would have destroyed the priests first.
لكنه يعطي فرصة.
But he gives a chance.
يقولون أين هو إله العدل.
They say, where is the God of judgment?
لكنه سيأتي. لكن إله العدل سيأتي قريبا.
But the God of justice will come soon.
وسيقف أمام جميع الناس الأشرار.
And all the evil ones would stand before him.
إن الحالة في الأيام التي نعيش فيها الآن.
The condition of the days in which we live.
لا تقل سوءا عن الحالة في أيامنا.
It's not much better than those of the days of Malachi.
ونحن نقرأ عن المشاكل العائلية.
Well, when we read about problems in families.
نسمع عن الطلاق.
We hear about divorce.
والحالة أصبحت منحطة جدا.
The state has become very low.
لكن ما هو الحل؟
But what is the solution?
أن نرجع إلى كلمة الله.
That we should return to the word of God.
التي تصحح أخطائنا.
Which corrects our failures.
From the Lord brings about
الواحد لازم يلاحظ في خلال تأملاتنا إنه الحياة عن الرب لابد أن يؤدي إلى حياة شريرة. اتكلمنا عن أمثلة كثير، لكن ما نقرأه الآن هو في الواقع النتيجة أو قمة النتائج التي نصل إليها وهي الغد للقري الزواج. عندما تصل أمة أو شعب أو إحنا إلى هذا المستوى فنحن في أحق المستويات.
And even sad to say amongst Christians, there are instances of divorce and putting away and so on.
للأسف هناك حالات وسط المؤمنين فيها أيضا طلاق.
I have more keepers, those of us who have partners given to us of the Lord, and we will be faithful in every way.
يعيننا الرب حتى كل منا خضع فيها قريب من الرب ان نحن نكون امناء في كل وقت. تعملوا الاظهار او ظهور هذه الامور هي في الواقع نتيجه لحالتنا الروحيه امام الرب.
I think it's very clear that destruction in the family life is a result of transgression and trespasses against the Lord Himself.
واضح أن الخراب في الحياة العائلية هو نتيجة إن إحنا في طريق ضد فكر الله تماما.
And I have in my mind two examples. The first example we can find in Genesis chapter 3 and 4.
مثالين أمامي في أول واحد في تكوين 3-4
Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve responded against the Lord and they broke the word of God and they committed sin against the Lord. We find the result in Genesis chapter 4 when treacherously happened when Cain killed his brother from one side. And we find that polygamy started to begin, the one who began to choose more than one wife.
شوفي أصحاح ثلاثة إنه حصل إنه آدم وحواء عصوا كلام الرب بنتيجة إنه في أصحاح أربعة نشوف غدر قايين بأخيه هابيل وبعدها نشوف موضوع تعدد الزوجات يلا.
And the book of Judges we find another vivid example.
في سفر القضاء أيضا نرى مثل حي.
In Judges chapter 17,
the Queen أصحاح 17,
we find the starting of worshipping idols.
It should be that عبادة الأوثان.
We find Micah brought someone to have just a little idol.
في ميخا أتى بمجرد شمسان صغير.
And in Judges chapter 19, we find a horrible incident happened in the time of Judges. When an adultery committed with a horrible details.
ونشوف بعد كده في قضاء صحة 19 إنه تحصل هناك حالات من الزنا بتفاصيل مرعبة.
And this is the sequences of being away from the Lord.
ودي نتائج متعاقبة لكوننا نخير عن الله.
But I'm so astonished in this part of chapter we find people when destruction and the family habit started to weep and shed tears for this condition.
لكن الغريب هنا ما نشوف لما بدأ الخراب العائلي نشوف الناس بدوا يبكوا.
And when they polluted the table of the Lord and when they broke the covenant of the Lord, nobody wept.
في حين أنهم عندما نجسوا مائدة الرب لم يبكي أحد.
Sometimes we will find instruction and we find a spray in our assemblies and our spiritual life, nobody cares.
كان عندما نجد خراب أو ضعف في وسط حالتنا في وسط الكنيسة محدش يهتم.
But when the Lord allows and touches our personal life, we start to cry and weep.
لكن عندما يلمس الرب حياتنا الشخصية نبدأ بالبكاء.
So I'd like to say that we need to weep when we find the glory of the Lord is defiled.
اللي عايز اقول انا احتاج ان نبكي عندما نجد ان مجد الله قد اهين.
And we don't have to wait until the Lord oblige us to weep in front of him.
ولا نحتاج ان ننتظر حتى يجبرنا الرب ان نبكي امامه من اجل ذلك.
We are going to weep either optional or obligatory.
احنا لابد ان نبكي سواء كان باختيارنا او رغم عنه.
But it's preferable to weep when we find the glory of the Lord in his life.
لكن من الافضل ان يكون لنا بكاء عندما نجد ان مجد الرب قد اهين.
Another possible way of looking at what verse 30 means.
هناك فكرة أخرى في التأمل في عدد 13.
Not that they personally were weeping at the altar.
مش بس أنهم كانوا شخصيا بيبكوا على عند المذبح.
But that what God was saying to them is, when you come to the altar and offer your sacrifices, I don't see those sacrifices. What I see is the tears of your wives that you have so badly treated.
عندما تأتون إلى المذبح تقدموا الذبائح، أنا لا أنظر إلى الذبائح التي تقدموها، لكني ما أرى هي دموع زوجاتكم الذين قد غدرتم بهن.
And perhaps God says things like that to us sometimes, that when we come, it's not just the words that we use that he's seeing, it's what we really are and how we are in our lives and in our family lives and in the reality of our lives that he sees.
ونفس الكلام بين التطبيق ان احنا لما بنيجي قدام الرب مش الكلمات اللي احنا نقولها التي يراها الرب لكن الرب يرى دوافعنا ويرى حالاتنا الشخصيه كما هي.
And I suppose we have to say here that when they offered those sacrifices about which God only saw the tears of the wives, we have to say God was disgusted with them.
وعندما تجي نقول انه لما كانوا بيقدموا الذبائح بتاعتهم لكن في واقع ما رآه الرب هو دموع زوجاتهم ان الرب كان متأسف منهم.
Is there also a collective application of these things to the state of the church in the time of departure?
أليس هناك أيضا تطبيق عملي على الكنيسة ككل في هذه الأيام أيام الخراب أو الضباب؟
I was wondering that we have previously talked about the weakness that the Lord speaks to the assemblies in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3.
كلنا بنتكلم عن الضعفات التي يخاطب بها الرب الكنائس في رؤيا 2 و 3.
And we have focused previously on the letter to Sardis and the letter to Laodicea. But there's also the letter to Thyatira, where the primary characteristic of the church at Thyatira was the way the prophetess Jezebel led them into immorality and adultery. And the characteristic of that church can be found maybe, this is possibly a question, in verse 17, every what you say, everyone that does evil is good in the sight of Jehovah. And there's a character. And is there a characteristic in Christianity, or rather Christendom, which has that aspect that if you do wrong, the really saying that those people who we know are doing wrong, they are the ones who are right in the sight of the Lord.
It's interesting, in verse 11 it says the abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. So it seems that, but in fact it was Judah that had profaned the sanctuary of Jehovah. And it seems that the remnant in its degraded condition was still regarded as the inheritor of the promises for all of Israel. And really gave expression to what was in fact sadly true for the whole of people then. It's a sad thing if those who are part of the recovery of New Testament truth should fall in with the departure of the greater mass in Christendom. Now, it does speak about an abomination. This is a very serious situation, really, when there's an abomination. Now, you'll have to do your own homework to find out all those things described in the Old Testament as an abomination. But it is what is really, as far as I can gather, what is most detestable to God. It seems not just to do evil, but even to go beyond in an extremity which is a gross offense to God's holiness. It does put me in mind, the word itself, abomination, puts me in mind of what you get in Ezekiel chapter 9. And there were some in Jerusalem at that time, in Ezekiel's day, that sighed and groaned on account of the abominations done in Jerusalem. Then, of course, the executors of God's righteous judgment went forth from his presence. And all those that were involved in this, they were slain. But those that sighed and groaned for the abominations committed in Jerusalem, they had received a mark. The man with the writer's inkhorn went out and put a mark on all those that were really troubled about the situation. And I suppose in every age, even in the desperately ruinous times of Malachi, there were those that were sighing and groaning. And I suppose we that's the sort of character we want displayed in our own situation as well.
وأعتقد أن هي تلميذة لحنا تظهر فينا في هذه الحالة.
You know, when Paul writes to the Corinthians, he speaks about the abuses in the assembly there, and he says, for this reason, many of you have fallen asleep or are sick.
رسول بولس كان بيقول في كورنثوس يقول لهم لهذا السبب على إعالة المشاكل اللي كانت هناك ولهذا السبب كثير منكم مرضى وكثيرين يرفضون.
Well, maybe two ways of looking at that reference in Corinthians.
يمكن أن نبص على الكلام في كورنثوس من وجهتين.
One is that on account of judgment, God's governmental dealings, some had been taken away or had were under the discipline of sickness. And probably that's the first way we approach that verse when we read it. But another possibility is this. Is that there were tender souls in the Corinthian assembly who were so deeply grieved on account of the low condition in the assembly that they were sick.
كانوا حزانا جدا من الوضع في كنيسة كورنثوس فكانوا
كانوا مرضى من أجل ذلك. So really, what I'm saying is that this terrible condition ought to affect us deeply.
عايز أقول إنه هذه الأمور محزنة يجب أن تؤثر فينا بعمق.
We might come to the meeting and say, oh, that was a nice meeting, and it's all very superficially received into our minds.
ربما هي الاجتماع ولا كان اجتماع حلو خالص والأمور كلها دخلت يعني بسطحية في أذهاننا.
But surely God is wanting to do a deeper work in our hearts and consciences even at the present time.
لكن الله يود أن يعمل عمل في عمق قلوبنا حتى في هذا الوقت.
I could just add, we mustn't think that we only are the remnant of the remnant. Thanks be to God, there are many faithful scattered throughout Christendom. Exceedingly godly souls who are very faithful to the light and truth they have. Their piety and sanctified lives have probably put some of us to shame. They do exist. I've had the privilege of meeting a number. But really, we do want to take account of the general decline that has occurred not only in our midst but in Christendom generally, and seek godly help to not only observe the decline but to know how to behave in relation to it.
Marriage is an order that God has instated right from the beginning. The Lord has said that it's not good that Adam will stay alone, I'll make him a helpmate. And God, the Lord has blessed a marriage in the Garden of Eden. And when Christ was here on earth in his body, he has attended a marriage ceremony at Cana in Galilee. In other words, he blessed that marriage. But we have come to difficult last and closing days. Paul has mentioned about it in 1 Timothy 4 that people would return to turn away from faith, following deceiving spirits and teachings of the devil, commanding to refrain from marriage.
And this is what we see these days. Many, particularly in the Western world, and in the States in particular, they say, why marriage? We prefer to live without marriage. Isn't that evil? Isn't that a decline? And isn't that a transgression against the commandments of the Lord? Also marriage, the Lord has instituted. We can see in a picture of the Lord Jesus at the church. And if that marriage is not sanctified, then we actually dishonor the picture. So marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. How does divorce happen? How could that couldn't happen while marriage is a picture of Christ exchanged with the church? This is an
evil.
It's no divorce, neither in the Old Testament nor in the New Testament. There is only one special case that Moses had allowed divorce. But God didn't give a command of divorce. A last prophetic note.
أن يهوذا الذي يرمز إلى الشعب.
The Judah who speaks of the people.
حاد على الرب.
It departed from the Lord.
رمز لإسرائيل الذي حاد على المسيح.
A picture of Israel who departed from the Messiah.
ورفض إله.
And rejected their God.
وعبد إله غيره.
And they worship foreign gods.
وهذا ما نراه في شريعة المرأة الخائنة.
And this is what we see in the treacherous woman.
في سفر العدد أصحاح 5.
Numbers chapter
5.
They have departed from the Lord. And that woman was apartment from another person. And this is what we see in the church this time. The Christendom departed from Christ. And they are now associated with another person. And when we come to the state of
Bergamus,
we see the church is identified with the world. And
it's
become a worldly church. It's a contradictory expression. The worldly church. It's either to be either church or world. There's no consideration between the world and the church. And the world is against the church. Either the church or the world. So if we are to be identified with
God,
we should be against the world. In 2 Corinthians 12, the apostle Paul said, I have betrothed you to one man. So my offer a chaste virgin to Christ. May the Lord give us grace. May be a chaste virgin to Christ. We shouldn't love except Christ. And shouldn't give a room in our hearts except for Christ.
We are here in front of an important warning to us as an assembly. What does it mean to deal treacherously against each other?
ماذا يعني ننظر ببعضنا البعض؟
The Lord commanded us to love one another.
الرب قد أمرنا أن نحب بعضنا البعض.
And when we don't do so, we are committing or dealing with treacherously against each other.
عندما لا نفعل ذلك فإننا ننظر بعضنا ببعض.
And I have two important verses in the New Testament.
هناك عددين مهمين في العهد الجديد.
In Galatians chapter the Epistle of Galatians, chapter 5 and verse 15.
The Galatia 5:15.
We have an important warning for us as the body of Christ and the members that we constitute the body of the Christ.
تعتبر مهم لأعضاء جسد المسيح.
You see? But if you fight and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. We need to encourage, we need to love. Unless we do so, we are going to speak viciously against each other. And I have another verse quoted in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5.
And
verse 11. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. So we have an important commandment here, not to bind one another, but at the same time we need to comfort and edify one another. If we are not going to do so, we here in front of this warning, we are living viciously against each other. Another point, the first chapter in Malachi concentrates about the matters of spiritual relationship with the Lord.
أمر آخر صح الأول من مناخ يتكلم عن العلاقة الروحية مع الرب.
And the rights of the Lord as Master and Father.
وحقوق الرب باعتباره أب وسيد.
And our privilege as priests and the priests with the relationship with the altar.
وامتيازنا ككهنة فيما يخص المسبح.
But chapter 2 dealing in particular with the brotherly relationship and the domestic relationship.
لكن أصحاح 2 يتكلم بخاصة عن العلاقة الأخوية أو العلاقة العائلية.
And we find this very vividly in the book of Acts.
ونجد ذلك واضحا في سفر الأعمال.
When the church, the assembly was in a good spiritual condition in chapter 2 and 3.
عندما كانت الكنيسة في حالة روحية سامية في أصحاح 2 و3.
We find in chapter 4 actually a wonderful remark.
نشوف في أصحاح 4 كلام جميل.
In chapter 4 the book of Acts and verse 32.
على 2 و3.
Find a wonderful image of that good relationship between brothers of one to another.
شوف صورة جميلة للعلاقة بين الأخوة بعضهم البعض.
Verse 32 in the book of Acts chapter 4.
على 32 أعمال 4:32.
The multitude of those that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common.
كان الجمهور الذين آمنوا قلب واحد ونفس واحدة ولم يكن أحد يقول أن شيء من أمواله له بل كان عندهم كل شيء مشترك.
This is a wonderful image of the relationship between the assembly of God as individuals.
ده شيء جميل لعلاقة في كنيسة الله بين الأفراد.
We are not in need only the commandments and the teaching, not only, but we need the power of the Holy Spirit.
لا نحتاج فقط إلى وصايا وتعاليم، لكن نحتاج إلى قوة الروح القدس.
And in Acts chapter 18, we find a wonderful vivid for a domestic life.
وفي أعمال 18 نشوف صورة حلوة للحياة العائلية.
When we find Aquila and Priscilla together working and making things together and ministering the Lord together.
نشوف أكيلا وبريسيلا كانوا يخدمان معا يعملان لكي يخدم الرب معا.
So in book of Acts we find these wonderful two vivid events. We find good relationship between the assembly as individual and we find a wonderful domestic life in the book of Acts chapter 18.
في أعمال الرسل نشوف في صورة حلوة العلاقة الفردية بين الإخوة في الكنيسة. ونشوف أيضا صورة حلوة للكمال كيف يكون البيت المسيحي في أعمال 18.
May the Lord help us not to commit treacherously against each other nor to the other partner in domestic life.
رب يعيننا حتى لا نغدر ببعضنا البعض ولا نغدر بقرينة الحياة الزوجية.
This verse 15 here, I'm assuming that we've covered verses 11 to 14, and we don't need to go back and say more about them than we've already said. Verse 15. We need help on. Those who have written books on Noahai have said that this verse is the most difficult verse to translate into English or into any other language from the language it was written in. In the translations that I'm aware of that are used in this room, there are at least four completely different interpretations as to what the verse means. It's so central to the teaching of the book. Have any of the brothers looked into it with any depth so that they feel they can give us an explanation as to what it means?
I've read thought about this verse. What's referred to as the remnant of the spirit refers to the conscience that God has laid in man. As if he's saying, don't you have a little bit of conscience? You're asking an impossible request. You're asking for the seed of God. And you are married to the daughter of the foreign God. How can it be a seed of God where there is an equal yoke?
وكيف يوجد زرع الله وأنتم قد غدرتم بامرأة الشباب?
And how could be a seed of God when you have dealt treacherously with a wife of youth?
وكيف تطلبون زرع الله وأنتم ارتبطتم بالأمنيات?
And how can you seek seed of God when you are associated with Gentiles?
وكانت النتيجة أنه حدث الطلاق.
And the result was that divorce came in.
والله يقبل الطلاق.
And God has divorced.
هذه فكرة قرأتها.
This is a thought I have read before.
Concerning the first part of the verse 15, and didn't he make one?
بما يختص بالجزء الأول فلم يفعل واحدا.
And I think there is a little bit of confusion about the word one. What does it mean?
برضو هناك أفكار شافين بعض بالضبط ماذا يقصد بكلمة واحد.
I think what is meant by the word one here, I find an explanation in the book of Genesis. I think, as we know, that Malachi many times go back to the beginning.
ومنك التفسير لي أن تسيب التكوين لأن سمعنا قبل كده أنه ملاكي عادة يرجع إلى البدايات.
What does it mean by one?
ماذا يعني بواحد?
I think that the Lord, when started establishing the system of marriage in the Bible in the beginning,
عندما بدأ الرب يؤسس العلاقة الزوجية في البداية,
we find that the Lord made one. What does it mean that the Lord brought one wife to one man?
أعتقد إنه معناها إنه الرب أخبر زوجة واحدة لرجل واحد.
And at the same time, there is another meaning. And the Lord made of one man and one woman one flesh.
والمعنى الآخر في اللغة الثانية كده إن الله إذا جعل من الرجل الواحد والمرأة الواحدة جسد واحد.
And as we read in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24,
كما نقرأ في تكوين أصحاح 2 عدد 24,
therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
ذلك يترك الرجل أباه وأمه والتصل بامرأته ويكونان جسدا واحدا.
So I think the meaning of the word one is that one wife only. We have no polygamy in Christianity. At the same time, man and the woman in Christ through marriage, they become one flesh.
فأعتقد واحد هنا تعني رجل واحد أو زوجة واحدة لا تعد الزوجات في المسيحية والاثنان أيضا قد صار جسدا واحدا.
نلاحظ يستخدم هنا كلمتين.
And we notice that he uses these two words.
Al-Zulma wal-Ghatr.
Darkness and country.
هناك فرق.
There's a difference.
Al-Zulm al-Ghatr awwal.
Treachery, and the other word he uses is right. Violence and treachery.
هناك فرق بين الكلمتين.
There's a difference between the two.
الغدر والظلم.
Treachery and violence.
الظلم نتيجة للغدر.
Violence is a result of treachery.
الغدر أولا.
Treachery comes first.
ما معنى الغدر؟
What's the meaning of treachery?
ترك امرأة بالشباب.
She's putting away the wife of the youth.
لماذا؟
Why?
لكي يشبعوا رغباتهم وشهواتهم.
To satisfy their lusts.
ونتيجة لذلك الظلم.
And as a result of that, violence comes in.
فالظلم هو ترك امرأة الشباب.
So violence is leaving, putting away the wife of his youth.
وهذه الأمور كلها في نظر الله شر.
And all these in the eyes of God are evil.
ملاك 2 وعدد 15 ملاك الكلمة الله صنع يفعل ألم يفعل واحد؟
He Malachi 2:15 we read here that this God hasn't he didn't he make
في Genesis 2 ملاك الرب يصنع معينا رصيدا
In Genesis 2 we read that he makes a helpmate
يفعل ويصنع دليل اهتمام الله بالأرض
The fact that God makes or the Lord makes gives us an impression how that's important for God.
لكن هناك تطبيق آخر أو فكرة أخرى.
There's another thought.
الواحد قد يكون أو يشير إلى إسرائيل كشعب مع الله.
The one, make them one, may refer to Israel as a people of God.
مع أن الله إله جميع البشر.
Although God is the God of all people.
لكن نفضل إسرائيل عن باقي الشعوب.
Yeah, but he has favored Israel.
لماذا؟
Why?
لأنه يقبل زرع مقدس.
Because he is seeking a godly or a holy seed or descendant.
I think there's another thorn in verse 15. Perhaps as Greg mentioned, there's different Bible translations. But one translation of a friend that Edwin often refers to, it says, did not one make them? That would refer to God. Did not God make them? As in husband and wife. One made them, which refers to God himself.
في أحد الترجمات أيضا بيقول إنه ألم واحد يفعل بمعنى مش الله هو اللي عمل الله اللي صنع.
So it could be interpreted as husband and wife being one, or either that God himself being that one who made them. God made them as one. So I think the one who made them here refers to God himself.
ممكن يقول إنه الله عملهم باثنين واحد أو إنه يكون الواحد هو اللي عملهم هو الله.
So it's evident that the translation of the first part of the passage is very, very difficult.
واضح إنه ترجمة الجزء الأول من صعب.
The one is of God. Is it Adam? Is it Israel? Is it husband and wife together as one flesh? Some say it's Abraham. What is it? And if you look at the different translations, is it that he did this or that he shouldn't do this or how could he do this? The first part is very difficult. But the second part is very plain. God hates putting away. And perhaps just to make a little application of one thing that it may be seen clearly as coming out in the first part. That the objective of whatever this was that was happening, whether it's God or man or Abraham or Israel, is that there would be a seed of God. And if these men from Judah were saying to their wives, who perhaps were starting to get a few wrinkles, I'm not interested in you anymore, there's some attractive heathen women there, I'll go for one of them, then the end result of that was there would be no seed of God. All the fathers were thinking about was themselves. They weren't really thinking about the outcome of there being a seed of God. We can interpret that the godly Jewish people would have always wanted to be in the line of those that eventually produced the Messiah. Or we could say that the proper result of a family setting is that there would be godly children. But neither of those were their concern. Their only concern was their lusts and their desires. But, I mean, we're not going to get through Malachi, but if we get right to the end of the book, the ministry of the Elijah who is to come is to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And maybe an application to us all, those of us who are older or in the middle or wherever we are, let's not just think about ourselves and our selfish interests, but let our hearts be turned towards the children. That whether in our families or in our assembly relationships, we ought to be concerned that there be the reproduction of godly offspring. If we're only thinking about our own needs, whether they're immoral lusts or whether they're just selfish things, that will not generate a seed of God.
After what we heard, it is time to remember together the advice related to the family.
To
refer to in the New Testament. They are there in three epistles. I'll just read some verse.
في رسالة أفسس الأصحاح 5
Ephesians chapter 5
وعدد 25
verse 25
أيها الرجال أحبوا نساءكم كما أحب المسيح أيضا الكنيسة وأسلم نفسه لإلهنا. أفسس 5 25
Ephesians 5 25 Husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her.
وعدد 28
verse 28
كذلك يجب على الرجال أن يحبوا نساءهم كأجسادهم من يحب امرأته يحب نفسه.
So husbands ought to love their own wives, their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself.
عدد 33
verse 33
وأما أنتم الأفراد فليحب كل واحد امرأته هكذا كنفسه وأما المرأة فلتهب رجلها.
Nevertheless, the feet of each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and in the wife see that she respects her husband.
The
verse in chapter
3.
Verse 18. Wives, submit to your own husband as is fitting in the Lord.
ولا تكونوا قساطا عليهم.
Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them.
عدد 20 أيها الأولاد أطيعوا ولديكم في كل شيء لأن هذا مرضي الرب.
Children obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord.
رسالة بطرس الرسول الأولى أصحاح 3.
First Peter 3.
كذلك عدد الأول كذلك أيتها النساء كن خاضعات لرجالكن.
Wives likewise be submissive to your own husbands.
عدد سبعة.
Seven.
كذلكم أيها الرجال.
Husbands likewise.
كونوا ساكنين بحسب الحكمة مع الإناء النسائي كالأضعف.
Dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel.
معطين إياهن كرامة كالورثات أيضا معكم نعمة الحياة لكي لا تعاق ثرواتكم.
And as being heirs together of the grace of life that you pray may not be hindered.
عدد ثمانية والنهاية يكون جميعا متحد الرأي بحس واحد ذوي محبة الأخوية مشفقين متجمعين.
Verse 8, finally, all of you be of one mind, have compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous.
رب ساعدنا لكي نطبق هذه النصائح العادية.
May the Lord help us to apply those family or advice related to our family in our family life.